Andy, of course, of SNY, MLB Insider, and you can catch Andy every night, 6 o'clock on SNY, of course, with BNNY Baseball Night in New York with he and Doug Williams, and on the Shea Anything podcast as well in his great columns on SNY.TV. First of all, just take us through this week. Where did this really start to pick up some steam when a few weeks ago we didn't necessarily think there was going to be another big name that was going to be attached to the Mets?
Yeah, there wasn't. They weren't interested in Trevor Bauer, and then they were. Sandy Alderson, a couple weeks ago, I'd say probably after George Springer went to the Blue Jays, went to Steve Cohen, went to ownership, as is, you know, what the way these things go, and sort of made a case for pursuing Bauer, going over the luxury tax, which they had not planned to do prior to that, and just thought, hey, it's a really good pitcher that could put us over the top, and they decided to go for it. So it intensified. You know, there was a lot of talk about this getting close last night between the Mets and Bauer, and it did get really serious. Deep in the negotiations, really, Mets thought that they had a strong chance of landing him. Offered $105 million, and he took $103 from the Dodgers. So it was an intensive pursuit, and they didn't get him, as we know. And I think you and I will both agree that they dodged a bullet.
I absolutely think they dodged a bullet. And Andy, let's just talk about this logistically for a second. Where had they come down on all of the Bauer extracurricular stuff, the Twitter, whether you want to call it bullying, harassment, whatever it was, his off the field, or even in some cases on the field, throws the ball over center field fence a couple of years ago, all the stuff that comes with Trevor Bauer and someone that is clearly interested first and foremost in their brand?
I'll say this. The Mets did their, what you'd call diligence on his issues, and it was genuine diligence. Sandy Alderson, after what he just went through with Jared Porter and, to an extent, Mickey Callaway, was going to ask a lot of people a lot of questions about this and vet it. But ultimately, Chris, they did end up on making him a $105 million offer. So they wanted the player. But it was with, I'm sure, some reluctance. It's almost like, please take our offer, but when you don't, okay, phew, that's cool too. You
know? Yeah.
Because he's just a difficult person. I mean, if you look at the tweets that he's done over the years, it's not just the harassment stuff, which was never sexual in nature like the other two people we mentioned, but was still felt mean-spirited in some cases. There was other stuff. There was birtherism in there. You know, there was a lot. And he hasn't shown any reflection on that. In fact, when me, Ken Rosenthal, and Ken Davidoff wrote about this issue a couple of weeks ago, Bauer and his agent sort of held their ground. Their position is clearly that he didn't do anything wrong, and he's entitled to that position, but it's a lot, and it's exhausting, and it offended a lot of people. And I think that one of the things that the Mets would have had to deal with if they signed him was that your press conference on day one for all that money that you spent wasn't just purely good. It wasn't like, hey, yay, it's day one, we got this star pitcher. It was like, Sandy, how did you vet the tweets? Trevor, are you a harasser? It's like, that's what you're buying? Is that kind of publicity? So, you know, that's all there with him, as you well aware, and if you've been great about pointing out.
How about this, though? On the field, where did you come down on Bauer and the unevenness of his career? The fact that over 209 starts, he had a really good year in 2018 and then 11 great starts this year. But other than that, was somebody that was in ERA of 4, were they willing to go to this number because they were projecting more based on analytics and his, whatever his health, these amazing systems that he has in place for himself? Is that what it was more based in?
I don't think it went quite that deep. I think it went like, here's a stud that might be able to help us win the World Series. I don't know that there was a whole, you know, like, research and development deep dive that informed the pursuit so much as like that guy just won the Cy Young. He might want to play here. I think Chris, you know, looking doing the research about him as a pitcher, if you look at it, he was having a really, really good year in 2018 before he got hit with a comebacker. And so he seemed to have put something together. I mean, he's developed elite spin on his fastball and all his pitches really starting around then, which has led to innuendo about pine tar, which is, you know, illegal, but wink, wink. So it's like a big scandal, but they might ban that or regulate that going forward. Pitchers' use of substances on the ball. So I'm not saying Bauer did that, but you know, his spin rate went through the roof out of nowhere, and that's helped him. Not, you know, pretty average velocity on his fastball, breaking stuff, off speed stuff that's good. Cutter, slider, not nearly as good as say Garrett Cole's secondary stuff. So you're getting a good pitcher, a really good pitcher. You're not getting an ace, in my opinion, despite the fact that he just won the Cy Young. So, you know, that's what they were bidding for. That's what the Dodgers just got. And, you know, I think the Mets would have been better on the field with him this year. But I also think that now if they spread that money around on some pitching depth, bench pieces, maybe center field, maybe they're better off, even baseball-wise.
All right, I want to get to that in just 1 second. Andy Martino, SNY MLB insider and noted TikTok influencer with us. Andy, with Jacob DeGrom, part of that to me, he already was unhappy with his agency. He clearly wasn't thrilled that he signed the deal that he signed, but he signed it.
Yeah.
You bring in Trevor Bauer and you pay him $40 million for 1 year, and mm-hmm. Jacob's making 20 this coming year. I mean, double mm-hmm. what he's making. Mm-hmm. He's got an out after 2022. Knowing Jacob as you do, would it have rubbed him the wrong way? And I know it was a different regime that gave him that contract.
That's a great question. You know, on the one hand, I would say that players obviously, in many cases, define status by average annual salary. But on the other hand, and DeGrom is smart enough, I do think, to take it out on the agents that he already fired rather than Trevor Bauer. He probably understands that there's a different – I haven't talked to him about this, but I would guess that he understands different year, different context. He'd love to win a World Series. So I don't think it would have been a problem in the clubhouse so much as, you know, by not getting Bauer, now maybe they can keep DeGrom,
yeah.
keep a Stroman or a Syndergaard if they choose. Now, they were going to give Bauer an opt-out after year one, so no one thought this far ahead. I mean, they did, but like in public, we weren't thinking this far ahead. But so then after this season, they're going to lose control over Bauer, Stroman, and Syndergaard at one time. And then DeGrom a year later. So your whole rotation's opt-out city. It's free agents up the wazoo. And now without Bauer, they can, if they want to secure DeGrom for more years, if they want to, you know, as I said, sign one of those other guys, it's easier.
Andy Martino with us. Okay, so what now? You mentioned defensive center fielder. Are we talking Jackie Bradley Jr.? Are we talking Jake Odorizzi? What are we looking at?
Jake Odorizzi is not a center fielder, Chris.
Oh, good point. Bradley Excellent is. Point. Yes.
see me? Aren't I just annoying?
No, not say, in this. Not nearly as annoying as you think you are, at least.
I would. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I would say that Jackie Bradley. I would report that Jackie Bradley is a maybe at best. Scott Boras looking for a big contract there. And the Mets are like, especially because they're not going to know anytime soon if there's going to be a DH.
Big defining what? Big, $50 million or what?
Oh, more, I would think.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
They, okay. And I think they would be well justified to look at, I believe, Michael Bourne 8 years ago. Around he was 30 or 31, so he was right around Bradley's age. Got 4 years and 48, I think. So years later, when Bradley's a better center fielder and hits for more power, they would certainly want significantly more than Michael Bourne got way back then.
Wow.
I mean, you're talking I'm not saying they're going to get him because I think that the market for Bradley is pretty narrow right now. But some justification, I think, because of the whole package that you get with offense and defense with Bradley, and particularly his power. And you're talking 15, 20 million a year, 5-6 years, something like that.
Holy cow.
Have to come way down for the Mets to do that.
Maybe
I don't know where he gets that, so you can want anything. I don't know if he's going to get it, but I think that's probably how they're looking at it.
How about Odorizzi?
They are not interested in Odorizzi.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been interested in Jake Arrieta a bit. They scouted him and liked what they saw, was told. Yeah, so that could be something.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing close there, but they were engaged on Odorizzi in December, and as soon as they acquired Carlos Carrasco, obviously, in the Lindor trade, that was Odorizzi's spot to the Mets. Odorizzi's not the back-end one-year deal guy, necessarily. He's like the mid-rotation guy for 3 years, 2-3 years, and they've got that with Carrasco. So that's that. But they're looking for pitching. Like, they could still sign a couple of starters. If they don't get Bradley, I bet you they sign at least two major league starting pitchers, one-year deals. Rich Hill or, Arrieta, maybe Paxton, although unfortunately for James Paxton, he's a great guy and a good pitcher. He threw a showcase a while ago, and not a whole lot of interest seemed to come out of that, so you worry about where he's at a little bit, I think. But the Mets are looking at guys like that, just not particularly Odorizzi, starting pitching.
I know that Frazier's not here anymore. The Arrieta thing catches me off guard a little bit after he was the one that said, I'll put a dent in Todd Frazier's head or something like that.
he's
colorful.
He's colorful. I think that's one of the things they would have to look at with him. They just think real hard about what's he bringing into the clubhouse. And maybe it doesn't ultimately happen, but from a scouting standpoint, I know that Arrieta looked pretty good at his showcase.
Andy Martino with us from SNY. A couple of more for you. Let's shift to the Yankees for a minute. What's your take on their offseason and how they've been? Have they gotten better, Andy?
They've either gotten better or worse, Chris. And by that, I mean...
way to commit.
I know. And that's why I'm such a great columnist. I know how to take a hard stance and really stick with it. Look, if they've had an interesting offseason on the budget that they claim to need to be on because of COVID losses and needing to stay under the luxury tax. Obviously, Jameson Taillon and Corey Kluber are really intriguing. And they've got an inside track on Kluber's training and rehab through Eric Cressy, their strength and conditioning coordinator, who is also trains Kluber. And they have reason to think that these guys can be good. And if they're good, then that's a stacked rotation with young upside guys, veteran guys that are proven if oft injured. So that has the potential, really, for extreme upside and extreme downside. You could also be looking at, like, who's starting tomorrow and who's starting the next day because they're all hurt or in AAA. So it could really go either way for me. There's more they could have done. They could have, in a normal year for them money-wise, they could have traded for Lindor and moved Torres or said goodbye to LeMahieu, or they could have gone aggressive, and instead they're basically bringing back a very similar team to the one last year that was pretty good, although not necessarily championship level. So I think they've been okay. I think one of the best things that's happened to the Yankees, Chris, is that the Rays have gotten measurably worse.
Yeah.
And the Rays were obviously their big bugaboo. So that helps.
It does not hurt in any way. I thought it interesting, though, Andy, specifically when it comes to Stanton and Judge, that the Yankees put Cressy out there to answer some questions. He did an interview on yesterday. And there's been so much around the health of these guys and showing, okay, here's the different kinds of things that we are trying with them this year. It didn't work in year one. I know you can point to everything that happened with COVID as far as Cressy's concerned, but they are putting an awful lot of faith in this guy. And and really putting it out there. And I almost feel like it's undue pressure in that with guys like Stanton and Judge, I think you're just always going to be dealing with these kind of injuries.
Yeah, well, they're taking one last shot at it with Cressy, obviously. Yeah, that's who they're putting their faith in to address that, because the difference, obviously, with that team, with those guys healthy and not, it's such a swing. And it's so frustrating just as a fan of the game and as people like us just like to see excellence on the field. Of course, it's entertaining. When you see a guy like Judge on that MVP level tear that he was on at the beginning of last season and then just get hurt, it's like, ugh. And then you don't even have to be a Yankee fan. It's just like, oh, that's a bummer. That guy should be on the field. And the same thing with Stanton. One of the weird things about Stanton is that as his injuries have gotten worse, he's actually gotten much better as a hitter. When he's on the field with the Yankees, his strike zone judgment is better. His playoff performance has been pretty good. He doesn't chase that outside slider. So you just have to stay on the field. And I don't know, you may be right that it is what it is with them and injuries. But the Yankees have to try everything they can to make that not be the case, obviously.
As far as baseball is concerned, the one thing I haven't heard after they haven't been able to get anything done with the universal DH and expanded playoffs and all that for this year is what more the Players Association would have wanted to get a deal done for the short term, because they didn't feel like the universal DH was a fair trade in exchange for the expanded playoffs. What more would they have wanted, Andy? What didn't they get that just made this a no-go and we're not even going to talk about it?
Yeah, that's interesting because, they just see expanded playoffs as the white whale for the owners, and to give it to them over something like a DH just was like just a total overpay for them. So that's a non-starter. But what do they actually want? I think they just want to try to play 162 games under the current terms and go to war over the CBA when it's over this year. I think that they're reluctant to give ground in a negotiation on shortening a season. They're reluctant to give MLB anything, really, because they are really ready for a perhaps generational battle over the state of labor relations in the game. So I don't know if it's any one thing. I think it might be more of the principle of saying no at a time when they feel that the union spent years being weak and they're trying to flex their muscles again and show Manfred that they're serious and take that tack. Now, could they agree to something with expanded playoffs at the DH soon before opening day? Sure. We saw that happen this past year. But there wasn't remember, they didn't counter MLB's proposal last weekend.
Right.
So it means it wasn't the proposal wasn't a tweak or two away from being workable for them. It was complete non-starter, nothing close.
Okay. A year from now, are we talking? We're talking about a stoppage in your mind?
No question. I'm not saying no question. Honestly, there'd definitely be a stoppage, but we're talking about it, and I'm really worried that there will be one. And I'm really
it feels like there's going to be a lengthy one.
Yeah, and imagine that coming off of two COVID-tainted years. So this spring training, we're like, okay, are we going to be able to go? Are they going to play games? Is there going to be a delay? And then next year, when hopefully we're all vaccinated and, out in the world again, it's like, are they going to play? It really worries me about the future of the popularity of the sport that we love. And I hope it's not that bleak, but I don't see any evidence that the sides can look out for the greater good and just go, hey, look, guys, like, it's a really bad moment to do this. Don't do this. It really just seems like it's not a good situation to me.
Last one. When does the book come out, the cheated book that you wrote on the Astros?
Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah.
June 8th is the release date. You're going to get a copy pretty soon.
Ooh.
Don't tell anybody, but there's some early copies coming out to some influencers.
Do I say, dare I say, galleys?
A galley. You are getting a galley. But I'm excited about this. I can't wait to have a longer conversation about it when it's out. If I'm inclined to invite me to do that, but
I'm inclined.
I don't mean to be presumptuous.
Yeah.
But It's a story that I put a lot of care and love and effort into telling. I do a whole history of sign stealing in the game within the game stuff. It's really not a gotcha thing about the Astros. I've got new stuff on what the Astros are up to that's beyond our understanding now of what they did. But what it really is like, here's how this whole thing happened over 100 years, and here's how Beltran and Cora and Hinch were special, and the Astros were different. And so it's a whole history of the game thing, too, that was a lot of fun to do.
The name of the book is Cheated, the Inside Story of the Astros Scandal and a Colorful History of Sign Stealing, due out soon. And, of course, we will have you on to promote it when that comes about, as long as the cash shows up inside the galley. Good to talk to you,
as
always.
Well, it's a digital. They do digital galleys now. Like, it's, you know, they don't waste all the paper. So you
right.
get a PDF. So I'll have to Venmo you the bribe would be the 21st century.
Any way we have to do it is fine. Venmo, PayPal, yeah. whatever you got to do. Cash App, I'm good. Andy, thank
All
you
right.
for the insight as usual, and have an outstanding weekend.
Thank you for having me. You have a good weekend too, Chris.
Bye-bye. You too. Andy Martino of SNY, of course. Check out him on Twitter, at MartinoNYC. And listen, you can say what you want. Among the insiders in this town, Andy's as smart as they come and as good as they come. And he, of course, is on BNNY Monday through Friday, Baseball Night in New York on SNY, 6 o'clock. Get all the latest Mets news, Yankee news as well. Baseball news, the man is plugged in.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.